So I'm sure we've all heard about the term metabolic syndrome floating around, especially in the keto community. And today I want to take a few minutes to talk about what it is and why we should be paying attention to it, because there are actually things that we need to know so that we can make changes in our life. Hello everyone, welcome to Mind Blowing Health and Wellness with Violet. I'm Violet, I'm a psychologist. The reason I make these videos is because I want everyone to understand that your mental health and physical health come together to create your overall sense of well-being. If you enjoy this type of content, please subscribe. And if you would like to help me in making more of this content, I do have a Patreon account. You can go to patreon.com/VioletRivera and find out all the information there. For those of us in the keto space, we've been hearing this term metabolic syndrome kind of thrown around. And when I first heard it, I wasn't exactly sure what it was. And now the more that I've learned about it, the more I realize that people talk about metabolic syndrome, but not in a way that really helps us to understand what it is, why we should be concerned about it, and actually if there is anything we can do about it, what we should be trying to do about it. Metabolic syndrome. I'm going to give you what doctors are looking for to start this off. You need 3 out of 5 symptoms to be classified as having metabolic syndrome. So if you have excess weight around your midsection, that's one of the symptoms. If your fasting glucose is more than 5.6, that's another symptom. Having high blood pressure, another one of the symptoms. Triglycerides over 1.5. And the final one is if you have HDL less than 1. So if you have 3 out of the 5 symptoms, you would be classified as having metabolic syndrome. What's really important for us to understand about metabolic syndrome, so those 5 symptoms, all 5 of those symptoms are caused by insulin resistance. So right away, the number one piece of information that you need to have that you're probably not getting from your doctor is that you have insulin resistance automatically if you have metabolic syndrome. Now, what's also frustrating is that because all 5 of those symptoms are caused by insulin resistance, even having one of them would suggest that very likely you have insulin resistance. And insulin resistance is something that we absolutely can address and absolutely should be addressing as early as we know that it's present. What's important from a psychological point of view is that our ideas about those 5 symptoms have become watered down over the past 20 years. It really isn't at all strange to see someone with a large midsection. We walk down the street, probably every 7th person has a large midsection, male and female. It's very normal in our society to see people who have large midsections because they're overweight. So these two things kind of go together, but it's even very normal in our society to see thin people with large midsections. If you're a male, you're being told that you have a beer belly, and if you're female, usually it's accredited to the fact that you've had children. But in reality, we don't blink at the fact that we often are large around the middle. Now, here's the problem. Being large around the middle is not automatic. It's not something that has to be there. And I remember being young, before I had my children, talking to friends, and it was the expectation that after we have children, we would probably have a hard time losing the weight, and that, you know, being large, especially having that stomach because you've had children, was seen to be normal. But part of the problem is that if I think something's normal, then not only do I not fight against it, but I almost encourage it to happen, right? Because my expectation is that it will be there. And then when it starts to happen to me, I allow it to be there because, well, it's normal. Everybody gains weight when they have children, and everybody has a big middle section after they've had children. And it just becomes something that you think is supposed to be there. If I'm told that, you know, when you get old, of course you're going to be heavier and you're going to have a bigger, then it's just something that you decide, well, that's just my destiny. If I believe something has to happen, I will let it happen. Now, the other 4 are a bit more difficult to understand why they've become accepted and normal in our society. But okay, here's part of it. Our fasting glucose being over 5.6. Why is that seen as normal? Like, why are we not concerned when our fasting glucose is 5.1 or 5.2? Why does it need to be 6 or 6 point something before we're concerned about it. Well, part of the problem is that when our fasting glucose starts to be higher, oftentimes we're told by our doctor it's not a problem yet. So it's not a problem yet, but that means the problem is coming. We are so used in our society that if the doctor says it's not a problem yet, that means I'm okay. When actually that's not what it means. If the doctor says it's not a problem yet, what it means is that currently I'm not in danger, but the yet part means that I could become in danger. I've been told on many different occasions for different medical things from my doctor, it's not a problem yet. My reaction is always, okay, how do I stop from becoming a problem? The other issue that I see there is that often, especially when it comes to the onset, so the approach of diabetes, doctors are not giving good information about how to stop it from being a problem. So, for example, I'm very aware that when my mother was diagnosed with her pre-diabetes situation, so basically her glucose levels were elevated, and my mother had that conversation, what she was told was A, was not a problem yet, but also B, just reduce your sugars. And unfortunately, my issue with that statement is that telling the average person who does a typical standard American diet, standard Canadian diet, to just reduce your sugars doesn't drive home the need to reduce the amount of rice you're eating. We are from the Caribbean. We have rice 6 days on seven. It doesn't drive home the need to cut down bread, something that my mom eats and our whole family was eating. It doesn't drive home the need to cut down most of the pasta on the seventh day. It doesn't talk about the need to drop down these carby heavy foods, potatoes, carrots, fruit, all things that we eat daily. So one of the issues that I have is that we are used to living a lifestyle where we have elevated glucose numbers, because when our doctor sees those elevated glucose numbers, first of all, they tell us it's not a problem yet. But second of all, they tell us, drop your sugar down, rather than being very specific and very, you know, clear and giving a list of these are the foods that you really should try to avoid since your sugar seems to be going, right? Be more specific. I would love to see doctors be more specific on how people can address their glucose numbers. The other thing that's very frustrating is that we know that by the time you get a diagnosis of diabetes, you've been living with insulin resistance and pre-diabetes for at least 10 years, maybe even some people longer than that. And so why we wait until the person needs medication before addressing what you could do naturally to diminish the need for medication is a very frustrating situation that we all live in. But again, it comes back to it's normal. In our society, we see high glucose. Doctors see it every day. It's normal, right? But it's not. That's the problem. Having high glucose numbers is actually not normal. And this is what I'm trying to help everyone to understand, because if I get my glucose numbers back to the normal range, I eventually end up in a situation where I'm not having to manage a diabetic situation and I can live my life normally. Now, triglycerides, high blood pressure, and HDL are even more tricky. First of all, triglycerides and HDL and also glucose numbers, we need a doctor to take that measurement for us, because most of us don't have the ability to take that measurement at home. Especially the glucose numbers before we become diabetic, we don't usually have that machinery at home. Blood pressure, most of us don't have a blood pressure machine at home. So we go to the doctor, we get all this information taken, then we get feedback. Again, what's really difficult is that, like, if I take my blood pressure right now, I have a cursory knowledge that 120 over 80 is normal, but I have no idea when the number becomes problematic. Like, is it 130? Is it 135? Is it 140 over? Is it 85, 95, 100? Like, I really don't know what over what is when it becomes problematic, right? And so the thing is that when we're sitting in front of the doctor and the doctor's looking at this information and says, oh, it's not a problem yet, most of us don't have enough medical knowledge to challenge what the doctor is saying and to say, oh, that sounds like that number's not great. Now, because we don't have that knowledge, we run with whatever the doctor says. And, you know, the doctor might give us some advice like, maybe you should exercise more. Maybe you should do this or that to try to work on it, right? But maybe you should exercise more versus you need to work your heart muscle, so we want you doing some cardio. It's completely different, right? It's a different statement. I feel that the medical profession, because we've gotten used to seeing people in these situations because of the way we've been eating, is not being strict enough with us to help us to make the choices and decisions that we need to make. I might learn that my blood pressure is a little high, and because I'm not a doctor, I'm not going to make the link to, oh, wait, that means I have insulin resistance, and that has to do with how much carbs I'm eating. The average person isn't going to make that link. The average person isn't going to go, oh my God, my HDL is a little low. That means I have insulin resistance, and that's related to how much carbs I'm eating. The average person isn't going to do that, even though it's exactly what it means, because insulin resistance causes all five of the symptoms. It doesn't become a problem for the doctor until it's time to give you medication. But by that point, now I'm doing something that, well, I know personally I wouldn't want to be doing. I would rather change my diet than take medication. When is my opportunity to change my diet? And see, this is the thing. I need to know that it's my diet causing the problem for me to even have the opportunity to change my diet. So what's going to happen? You're going to get diagnosed with metabolic syndrome, right? The doctor might throw that term out to you, and you're going to do what we all do. You're going to go home, you're going to get on the internet, and you're going to say, what's metabolic syndrome? And when you get on the internet and you see, you're going to see metabolic syndrome is a cluster of symptoms that predict a risk factor for heart disease, stroke, and type 2 diabetes. And all of a sudden, you've now been put in the position of realizing that, oh my God, I'm on the road to heart attack, stroke, or type 2 diabetes. What's continues to be frustrating to me is that when you do that internet research that I did because I wanted to see what will I see if I look up metabolic syndrome, you get the scary part of the information, but you don't get the information that says it's caused by insulin resistance and can be solved by reducing the amount of carbohydrates that you eat. So now what's happening to me? I'm at home, I'm reading this information, and I'm scared. And what am I likely to do? I'm for sure going to take that medication to lower my blood pressure, or that medication to lower my glucose numbers, or I'm going to take that medication to move my triglycerides and my HDL. I'm going to take the medication because I know what heart disease is. I know what a stroke is, and I know what diabetes is. And I don't want any of those things. But once again, what have I just done? I've just complicated my life because now I'm taking a medication to solve something that food could solve. Why is this important? Well, because those medications have side effects. So I'm taking a medication to solve a problem that was brought on by the way I was eating. And at no point am I looking at the way that I'm eating and trying to change the way I'm eating to solve the problem. What I want everyone to understand is that we can solve high blood pressure, extra weight around the midsection, high triglycerides, low HDL, and high glucose numbers with a proper diet that follows along the needs of people, so humans, eating low carb, eating moderate protein and fat, you can undo insulin resistance. We can actually solve that. And when we solve insulin resistance, we solve those five markers that were putting us in a metabolic syndrome situation. I need to know that in order to actually address my food. And the worst part is when I hear my doctor say, it's a little high, but, or for HDL, it's a little low, but, if I already know that metabolic syndrome symptoms are caused by insulin resistance, when I hear my doctor say that my numbers are off, all of a sudden I'm now aware I must have the beginnings of insulin resistance, or I actually have insulin resistance, and I need to address my food. We need to be wellness warriors and focus our time, energy, effort on the things that are going to keep us healthy. That means we need knowledge. We need information about what it is we're supposed to be eating. We need information about how the food affects our metabolic issues, and so how the food affects our body weight, how the food affects, but especially midsection. Midsection is important because when you have a large midsection, what it's actually telling you is that because of your insulin resistance, carbohydrates are being turned into fat and being stored in places that are not supposed to have fat, around your liver, around your pancreas, right? It's being stored there. That's why your midsection is getting large. If I don't understand that that's what's happening, I don't understand that this is a problem. And I treat it like, oh, it's just because I had a baby, or it's just because I drink a lot of alcohol, which alcohol can affect that too, but that's not a better reason, right? It's still creating the scenario of insulin resistance. Take your health seriously. Understand what is causing understand metabolic syndrome first and foremost, and understand what's causing metabolic syndrome so that you can make better choices for you. When the doctor says your blood pressure is a little high, now you know what it means, that you know that very likely that means I'm embarking on an insulin resistant situation, and I can go home and adjust my carbohydrate intake. And if I do it early enough, I might be able to do low carb rather than needing to do keto or carnivore, right? If I do it early enough, I can change my story, change my situation before it's problematic. 125 grams or less is still a heck of a lot more than 20 grams of less or less, and it's really a lot more than 0 grams of carbs per day. If I can do low carb and maintain a healthier lifestyle, maintain my blood glucose levels, maintain my blood pressure, maintain my HDL, triglycerides, if I can do all of that with low carb, starting that low carb lifestyle earlier in life will really be beneficial to me. And at the end of the day, honestly, if you need to do keto, it's not that difficult. It really isn't. But it's, what are you planning to invest in? Are you investing in yourself, your life, your health, your ability to see those grandchildren, your ability to go play golf or basketball or whatever it is that you love to do? Are you ready to invest in you and live the life you want to live? That's the real question. I hope you guys found this video helpful. If you did, please subscribe. I want to thank you for watching Mind Blowing Health and Wellness with Violet. I'm reminding you that I do have a Patreon account. If you'd like to contribute to the production of these videos, I really would appreciate it. Thanks for watching, guys. I love making these videos for you guys, and I can't wait to see you next time.